So as the clergy was rattling off the Book of Common Prayer and praying for the King of England, Samuel Cords threw the prayer book at the priest. Now, whether the priest ducked or was he a bad aim, do not know. The book did not hit the priest, the clergyman, and shortly after, he left St. Stephen's Parish, the priest did.
You are listening to History Man, the platform for historians, curators, and authors to tell their stories of the American Revolution. Walk in the footsteps of heroes and proclaim freedom reigns. On today's episode, we are visiting Berkeley County Museum again with Shanda Phillips. Shanda, tell us a little bit about what you do here, and let's get into the stories today.
We have welcomed visitors from all over the United States and other countries. Last year, we had over 9,000 visitors. Almost every state in the Union has visited the Berkeley County Museum. We keep a log of all of our visitors, and we have visitors from Germany, China, England.
So you're actually the chairman of the board.
Yes, I am.
And the board of directors and the vice chair of the 250th. You wear a bunch of hats around here.
I do. I am vice chairman for the Berkeley County 250 Commission. We are looking to expand the stories of Berkeley County through exhibits, oral history, and additional research, because we know there are many lost characters here in Berkeley County that need to be documented and their story told. So one of the stories that we're going to tell today is featuring Louisville Plantation.
Now, we talked about this leading up to this episode. This was a barony first.
Yes.
And when we talk about a barony, we're talking about the Lord proprietors and how they set up almost a commerce type colony here in the southern part of the New World.
So one of the things when we started doing research that we've read is that the Lord proprietors and the government would say, okay, you need to move out of Charleston. You need to find more land and take into more areas for growth, goods, people. So up the Cooper River, they traveled, and Fairlawn Barony was one of the first baronies that was named. Out of Fairlawn Barony, there are a number of plantations that were came out of that parcel of land. One being Louisville, Gippy, Stony Landing. There are other ones, different baronies in the area that came from these baronies that the Lord proprietors created. So let's talk about Louisville.
Okay.
Louisville Plantation is on the banks of the Cooper River. During the American Revolution.
Well, hang on just 1 second. The Cooper River, where does it start? Where does it end?
So the headwaters of the Cooper River are right outside Berkeley County Museum.
Okay.
When you come visit the park, and located in Old Santee Canal Park, you can walk down and you can actually be on the banks of the Cooper River. So the headwaters are here, and it travels all the way to Charleston. You'll hear people refer to the East Branch and the West Branch. Many, if you're talking to many of the older families that have been here, they will ask, which branch do you live on? Do you live on the East Branch or the West Branch?
Is there a rich and poor branch?
No. It's no different than today. If you're on a river property, you're on the rich branch.
I got you. So by river, how far is Charleston?
Ooh, probably only about 25 miles.
By road,
I'll have to do that in time. By road, it's about 30 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic nowadays.
I get you.
One of the things about the plantations or the baronies on the river, it's an interesting little story, is that they would build trunk system. Because remember, you had the plantations and they were used for rice fields. The number one crop here in Berkeley County was rice. They would go onto the banks of the Cooper River and they would actually build a dike system, and it would have a trunk is what they call. And we have a model of a trunk here in the Berkeley County Museum. And the trunk is really just a pipe, and it opened and closed, and you controlled that with the tides. So you would flood your rice field or you could drain your rice field. So that was the number one crop here.
Now, did that number one crop give way over time to another crop, or what?
Indigo was still grown here. Many of the property, the plantations and the farms and the barony, indigo was still a crop, but rice became the number one, and then later cotton more inland, but not around the river.
Okay.
So one interesting story about the trunks and the piers, or they would build on their plantations, is they would put a flag at the end of the plantation, and there would be a ferry that would travel up the Cooper River into the backwoods. And if you needed it to stop at your home, you would put the flag up.
It's kind of like the flag on your mailbox.
Yes.
Okay.
But it was a flag on your dock. Yes.
Okay.
So I thought that was always interesting, that that's how they knew whether to stop at that home or not.
That is interesting.
So Louisville, on the east branch of the Cooper River, it is still there today. You can see it by river. The house is still intact. It is privately owned. The interesting story is Keaton Simmons' family was the owner of the plantation at that time, or the home during the American Revolution, because it wasn't really called a plantation. So his daughter was actually courting Wade Hampton. So Wade Hampton had slipped off and was coming to call on her.
Well, for our listeners who may be from California or Washington or Oregon, or who is Wade Hampton? He's big here in South Carolina, but outside of South Carolina, he's not very well known.
No, but he was one of our patriots here in South Carolina. And also, if I remember correctly, he is the grandfather of Wade Hampton, who was later governor of South Carolina.
Right, right. After the Reconstruction.
After Reconstruction.
Right. So very controversial family,
yes.
Very controversial figure, but nonetheless very brave during the Revolutionary War.
Yes. So her family, they were looking out and they could see the British ships traveling down the Cooper River, coming inland here to Fort Fairlawn. So when she saw that, she knew that he was supposed to be calling. So she sent her slave to go meet him ahead of time, and the slave met him and told him the British are parking, they're coming down the Cooper River, and they are going to be here at Louisville Plantation. So Wade Hampton left and went and retrieved a group of patriots. They came back and they fired on the ships. The ships were sunk in front of Louisville Plantation, Louisville Home.
Now, that's not the story on The Patriot, the movie The Patriot.
No.
Okay.
So, this is the story about The Patriot that we always qualify when you come here to the Berkeley County Museum. The Patriot is loosely, and I'm going to say loosely, based on Frances Marion and the various stories. So, it could be similar to the story in The Patriot, but The Patriot is not exactly correct. It's the Hollywood version of Frances Marion. But the ships were sunk. They stayed at the bottom of the Cooper River till in the 80s, where then divers, as part of South Carolina Archives and History, retrieved the cannons. The cannons are now here on display in the Berkeley County Museum. One interesting thing of one of the cannons, our director, Chelsea Proper, has been able to research and has been able to find the foundry where the cannon was actually fired in England. And we have the king's proof on the cannon.
When you say king's proof, you're talking about like a stamp?
It is a stamp on the actual cannon.
Well, now that is cool.
And then we have his markings, because you had to know how much it weighed so you know the balance your ship. So we have that cannon, we have a second cannon, and then we actually have a swivel gun. Well, the unique thing about a swivel gun is the post that it sits on. Normally, those do not survive. However, that piece survived, and we have that. And then we also have the bilge pump from the ship that you can see.
So how did they sink the ships, though?
That part is lost in part of history. We know they came back. We know they fired, but we're not real sure about that piece. Because some of it becomes the legend, and some of it becomes the actual. So this is one of our legends that we're now trying to document father. So, yes. So that was right here.
So who did Hampton bring with him to do that? Do you know?
I do not know. That's the piece that we're working on now, trying to research. But another piece with that same house, with the Louisville home, Cornwallis actually visited the house. So the story is, he wanted them to prepare a meal. So they went, and Simmons, the master of the house, prepared mutton. Cornwallis did not trust what had been prepared and wanted his own chef to prepare his meal. So then they had to go and kill the mother of the lamb because he would not eat what was prepared. The other part of the story is the lady of the house, Mr. Simmons' wife. Cornwallis invited her to have dinner with him in the dining room, which she refused. No man was going to invite her to a dinner in her own home. So she stayed. She did not have dinner. During the meal, Cornwallis asked for meat. The owner of the house, Mr. Simmons, said, "Well, here is our meat." "No, that meat is not good enough. I will have meat that has been brought and traveled with me." And he brings out the bottle of meads. Simmons recognized the bottle of mead was not from Britain, but was actually from another home that Cornwallis had raided earlier. But he never told where the mead came from. So after the episode with the cannon and the meal with Cornwallis, Simmons left his home and joined Francis Marion's group and continued to fight in the American Revolution.
Do we know what happened to Simmons after the Revolution?
Later on, retired back to his home. And he actually is another interesting individual from Berkeley County, in that he was in Charleston when Charleston was captured. And they actually sent him home, and he was supposed to be, is now we would say, house arrest. He was supposed to stay in house arrest, but after that episode with Cornwallis, he abandoned his house arrest.
That's a good story.
There are many stories of Francis Marion during his life, after his life. One of the things with Francis Marion is that he was known to also to his men to be very fair to the British. And there was an episode, and I don't know exactly where this skirmish took place, but they were actually going to hang a British officer. And he told them no, that was not the way, his method of operation.
Now, was Snow Island in Berkeley County?
No, Snow Island is not in Berkeley County.
It's actually in Florence?
It's actually outside of Florence.
Okay.
We know that Francis Marion did have camps here, but Francis Marion was never known to stay in one camp very long. He was born here in Berkeley County at Goatfield Plantation, and he lived in Berkeley County till he was about 11, 12-ish, and then moved to Georgetown County and lived in Georgetown County, but it then returned to Berkeley County.
I think as I've gotten involved in these podcasts, a lot of the areas that are really kind of passed over now because of the interstate system and the railroads and then the interstate systems, the areas that really are rather rural now were very significant back then in the Revolutionary War. King Street would be one of those places. And
I'm going to tell you another one.
Okay.
It's St. Stephen's.
Okay.
So St. Stephen's Episcopal Church is 269 years old. It was founded actually as part of the parish system. They took out of the French Santee, they created St. Stephen's Parish, and it was the English parish and then the French parish, being St. James Santee. So So one of the stories in the American Revolution from St. Stephen's Episcopal Church was many patriots, loyalists, both attended the same church. Samuel Cords was on the American Revolution. He was a patriot, and the Cords family is from here in Berkeley County. He was attending worship. Well, this is an Anglican church, so they follow the Book of Common Prayer. At that time in the Book of Common Prayer, you had a piece that honored the King of England. Just like today, the Book of Common Prayer says we pray for our president. So as the clergy was rattling off the Book of Common Prayer and praying for the King of England, Samuel Cords threw the prayer book at the priest. Now, whether the priest ducked or was he a bad aim, do not know. The book did not hit the priest, the clergyman, and shortly after he left St. Stephen's Parish, the priest did.
That's a good story too. I like it.
And St. Stephen's Episcopal Church is very rooted also in history. It's a great, and we have at that cemetery, Nathaniel Green's grandson is buried there also. So many patriots at that cemetery.
I am struck when you come here, you know, just in how this place is laid out. You have great walking trails. You have the Fairlawn Fort, Redoubt Fort. Mm-hmm. You have the river here. And then when you walk up to the front of this museum, you have this quasi-submarine submersible thing sitting out front. Tell me a little bit about that and how that plays into Berkeley County. So, and I know it's not Revolutionary War, but it's a pretty good story.
So that would be known as the Little David. So the Little David is a semi-submersible submarine. It was constructed here on the same grounds as the museum, right next to Fort Fairlawn.
Okay.
So another piece of American history right here at this site. And St. Julian Ravenel was the designer, and it was built here and is actually named the Little David. His wife named it because the thought was that it was the Confederates going up against the Union Army, being David and Goliath. So the submarine was named the Little David. It was coal-fired. It had a boiler in it versus the Hunley that was man-fired. The David, they actually built a fleet of the Davids, which is a little bit different than when we think of the Hunley. So one of the Davids was used to strike the new Ironside ship in the Charleston Harbor. The ship was taken out of commission and did not return to the war. Now, after the war, we found pictures. There's a picture of one of the Little Davids underneath Trad Street used as fill material. One of the Davids was actually taken to West Point so the Union could study the technology of the semi-submersible. And then some of the other ones were just used probably as fill, scrap material. So the model that we have is based on the drawings and the information that we have all on the Little David. So it gives you a first-hand look. You'll see the torpedo piece at the end. That was the ram the ships. So that's a piece of history that we have here at the museum. We have lots of other Civil War type items. The other thing on the grounds here at the museum that we're working on, we have actually a one-room schoolhouse that is open just for special events, and that's owned by the Berkeley County Historical Society. And then you'll see two little cabins. Now the little cabins go back to the 1940s, and that's a working in progress exhibit. But the exhibit is going to tell of the lives of the men that built Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie. Those are actual cabins that were used during the construction. They could have been houses, medical facilities. One of the things that people in South Carolina forget is that into the 1940s, malaria was still an issue here in South Carolina. And when we talk about American Revolution, that was one reason, that another reason that people were moved inland is they felt like if they moved in the pineland villages or the pine trees, they would escape malaria and yellow fever. So that was another reason that land up the Copper River and the Santee River was started.
It's a great little museum, and I say little, it's not really a little place. I mean, you talked about 80 acres, I think, at one point.
So in Fort Fairlawn, that tract of land, there's 80 acres. That's about 2 miles of walking trails. And again, the Santee Canal Park, we have additional walking trails. The museum is a little over 5,000 square feet. We actually are working on our documenting our collection, and we have over 5,000 artifacts.
So when you walk into the museum, you're struck by a dugout canoe that's up on the wall here. Was that found here, and can you trace that back to a time period?
Actually, it was found here at this site. So when Santee Cooper was building the old Santee Canal Park, and we were building they were building the Interpreter Center and the canals and the boardwalk, the dugout canoe was found on this site. So it was now is housed in the museum. Now, unfortunately, we do not have any other information. You know, there's been no carbon dating or anything like that done. We're a small museum.
But it's a very unique and informative museum, too. It's, you can tell that y'all put a lot of work and a lot of research into this museum. Tell me a little bit about some of the Revolutionary War artifacts that you have here.
So a couple of things. As you walk through the museum, you will go into the American Revolution section. We have various paintings of Francis Marion. One of them, it features the sweet potato dinner.
Tell me about the sweet potato dinner.
So the sweet potato dinner.
Because there's several different paintings on that.
Yes.
So tell me about the sweet potato dinner.
So this is a little legend and history all in one. So the story is that Francis Marion was doing a prisoner exchange with the British officers. And they were in the woods meeting at one of his camps. And as a gentleman does, he offered, "Please join us for a meal." And the sweet potatoes is what was brought out to serve the British officer. The British officer was highly upset and went back and reported, how could they ever fight these rebels that would be willing to eat sweet potatoes? Nowadays, we all eat sweet potatoes, but that was an insult. So one of our paintings actually represents the turned up look of the British officer's face at being served a sweet potato dinner. We also have Esther's from the DAR group. We have one of her dresses, which was Francis Marion's wife. We have lots of uniforms. We have a very generous donor who has loaned some eyeglasses. I think are very interesting to think that someone still had eyeglasses in American Revolution time, but they were here. So we have a set of eyeglasses. We also have a section that is attributed to local modern versions of Francis Marion, being the Patriot movie. We have some of those. We have a Marion game that people actually played. And lots of people do not realize Disney had a whole TV series featuring, was it named Leslie Nelson?
Nelson from Airplane, yeah.
And have a little song. And there was a song of Francis Marion. So we have those items.
They use the old Robin Hood costumes from the set.
Yes.
So it's cheaper for them to use that, but it also is a nice little parallel with how Francis Marion was seen in the community, that sort of thing. So.
One of the things I think is interesting in the museum is, yes, we have a uniform. However, we have an item, we have clothes that would have been more of a backwoods country a true fighter. And I think of my own history and think that's probably what most of our patriots would have been wearing. Leggings, leather clothing, a hat.
Right.
Very simplistic.
Right.
Because they were militiamen who had left their farms.
Well, I've got to ask you this question that I ask all my guests, or try to ask all my guests. What does liberty mean to you?
So, liberty to me would be freedom. And I think that's something we take for granted. I met a very unique, lovely lady a couple of weeks ago, and she was explaining to me growing up living in China and how in a country such as that, every day you say a pledge to your government, your leader, and it's to the leaders, not to the government. And you do what your leader tells you to do. We're so blessed that we have the liberty to make those choices. We have the freedom. We choose where we go to worship. We have the freedom to become what we want to become. We have the freedom to spend our money where we want to spend it and have our own money. So liberty, what our forefathers did was give us that liberty to have the ability to make those choices. And that's a sacrifice I think we forget quite often, that we are blessed that we have that freedom. So that's what liberty is. They gave us that freedom.
I appreciate it. Thank you.